So, when was the last time you wrote a letter? And I mean a proper letter, you know, with pen and paper. Who did you write to? What did you write about? What was the point of the letter? What did you hope to achieve? The Apostle Paul, as you know, wrote many letters, and his letters served a variety of purposes back in the day, and they also serve a purpose for us in our generation. His letters brought encouragement to his readers. They helped them to realize that they are not alone, that we need to be reminded of that as believers today. We are not alone. That's why we meet as church. They brought hope in the midst of suffering and answered various questions that were on people's minds. And Paul's letters, when read together with all the other scriptures, provide key doctrines of our faith. And sometimes when we read them quickly, we get the big picture, but we miss out on the details that are so informative to us. So I want you to imagine a wedding photograph taken back in the 1970s. When the photo was first developed, people were probably only interested in what the bride looked like. But when looked at again 50 years later, you will find that it is full of fascinating details. And you'll hear people saying, "Look at all the old cars parked in the street. Oh, that must be great Uncle Jim, and I assume that is his first wife, great Auntie Flo. And look at those flares and the ties. Why did everyone either wear beige and brown or brown and beige back in the day? Unless, of course, they were wearing orange." You see, details can be fascinating. So let's open Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica, a city which still exists today in modern Greece. And let's read the first chapter, looking at some of the details. So this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and Paul starts like this: "Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that He has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." So, what can we learn from this letter? What can we learn from the details What can we learn from the church in Thessalonica? Well, here are 8 things that I would like to explore this morning with you that jump out from the text. In part one now, I want to look at grace and peace to you. I want to talk a little bit about work produced by faith, labor prompted by love, and endurance inspired by hope. And then after the break, when we come back, I'd like to look at following the example. That would be the next slide, please. Following the example, becoming an example, turning and waiting. So let's move on now to our next slide, please, and we'll go straight into number one, grace and peace to you. So why does Paul say this to the Thessalonian church? The very first desire he expresses for them is that they may have grace and peace. And in the last chapter of this letter, in verses 23 and 28, he mentions again his key desire that he has for them, namely grace and peace. But why does he state this? Why does he mention grace and peace? It is as if he is saying, may you enjoy grace and peace. May you walk in grace and peace. May you experience deep down the grace and peace that only God can give. It is as if Paul understands that grace and peace are not the automatic default setting for the human heart. Even we who are believers, even we who have been born again, if we're honest, we have a tendency to resort back to the default setting of our human hearts. Grace and peace are the miracle from God settings. But the default settings, the automatic settings of the human heart are law and war. And law is the opposite of grace, okay? And war is the opposite of peace. Is that right? And if I say to you this morning, come on guys, be honest, then I think some of us would admit that often our hearts are ruled more by law and war than they are by grace and peace. And indeed, when dear Noah and his family came out of the ark, God said about Noah and his descendants, every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. That is why we need God's miracle of grace and peace in our evil hearts. And that, I believe, is why Paul starts this letter to the Thessalonian church with the words, grace and peace to you. What about praying for ourselves and for each other, that we may live in grace and peace, that we may operate in grace and peace, and that God's grace and peace may rule our hearts. And now that the situation regarding COVID is changing again, I think that more than ever, right now, we need to extend grace and peace to each other, particularly with regards to what we do as a church in the next few weeks and months. You see, when the government, up until this coming Monday, when the government was saying you must wear masks in church and you must social distance in church and you must not sing in church, when the rules were clear cut and mandatory, it was, in a sense, easier in that you simply had to choose to obey the rules or not. But now we are moving into a period where, as I understand it, the government is in effect saying, you decide as a church what is good and safe. And the problem with that, of course, is that not everyone will agree on what we should do. And so I am pleased to say that we are in agreement as a leadership team that we should encourage each other to be loving and understanding towards each other and towards each other's point of view. In fact, one of the deacons wrote to me on this very matter and said, one point that perhaps you need to consider is teaching tolerance to the congregation, since it is likely that whatever we decide, some people won't be happy. And that is in the words of one of our dear deacons, and in the words of Paul the Apostle, grace and peace to you. So can I please make a request? Is that okay? Am I allowed to make a request in a sermon? Okay. Can I make a request, please? Let's apply grace and peace to ourselves and to each other, and especially to our deacons who are the trustees of the church. They have some pretty difficult decisions to make moving forward. Not only do they have to consider what they think is best, they also have to consider the school academy who we rent this beautiful cathedral from. Is that okay? Yeah? Great. We got that in, didn't we? We'll move on. Point number two, please. Next slide. Work produced by faith. You'll see these words in verse 3. Paul says, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. And let me say this, that gospel work is hard work. If any of you have ever witnessed to a friend, a family member, or a work colleague, you will know that gospel work is hard work. If you have ever prepared a lesson for 1-2-3, or a Bible study, if you have organized a lunch club, or gone door to door, or if you have worked on the PA system, I'm sure that you will all agree that gospel work is hard work. And Jesus, in his parable of the sower, likens gospel work to sowing seeds, which back in the day was back-breaking work. You are on foot with a sack of seed strapped to you. The ground is uneven, and you are dusty and dirty and hot and sticky, or perhaps it is raining and you're drenched through. And you just keep going. You keep going, not knowing which seeds will produce a harvest and which seeds will get trodden underfoot, eaten by birds, or scorched by the sun. Gospel work is hard work. And the experience of the Thessalonian believers is that it can only be done by faith. Paul talks about your work produced by faith. My friends, we can only do gospel work by faith. In fact, the work of God is faith. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 29, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Faith is work, and we can only work by faith. Now, mega churches, they like to draw a crowd with flashing lights and dance music. often seeming similar to a nightclub. But you see, gospel work is not about drawing a crowd. Gospel work is about making disciples. And gospel work is hard work. Have you ever decided to dig the garden or to paint the lounge? The first few minutes may feel like work, but after a few hours, it doesn't feel like work anymore, it feels like labor. Gospel work is hard work, and after a while, it feels like labor. And Paul addresses this in point number three. Can we have the next slide, please? Points two and three go together. Work produced by faith leads into labor prompted by love. And as you know, the world says, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. That is to say, they clear off. But perhaps we should say, when the going gets tough, the church and the believers within the church, they don't get going and clear off. They keep going and stay put by faith and prompted by love. Would you like to get involved in gospel work? You can only do it produced by faith and prompted by love. Love for God, love for his church, and love for the lost. And our point number four continues in the same manner. Endurance inspired by hope. If we are going to endure, then we need hope. Not any old hope, but the hope of the resurrection. Jesus said to his disciples before going to the cross in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, right? Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Let us pray for ourselves and for each other, that we may get to work for the gospel. Work produced by faith, labor prompted by love, endurance inspired by hope. Follow the example. In verse 6, Paul says, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." So I want to ask you a question. Whose example are you following? Who do you look up to? Who would you like to be like? Who do you try to imitate? Do you look up to your team leaders at work? Do you want to be like a famous footballer or a famous gymnast? Do you try to be like your best friend at school? We need to be imitating Jesus, and we should try to be like people of faith who we see in the Bible. And yes, at times, let's follow the example of people around us who themselves are following Jesus. So let's move on now to point number six, because not only should we follow the example, but if we are to be like the believers in Thessalonica, we must also become an example. Did you get that from the text? We've got to follow an example, but we've got to become an example. In verse 7, Paul says, "And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." We need to be following the example of Christ and his followers. And we also need to be modeling this faith to others. So, are you a good model of faith in Jesus? What example are you setting to your children? Are you an inspiration to your brothers and sisters? Is your way of talking or of being an encouragement to your spouse or your parents even to follow the way of Jesus more closely? Do you model Christ when you talk to people who have a different point of view on matters relating to COVID? Our world needs examples of Christ-like behavior. And you may be the only believer that someone around you knows right now. Let us all pray that we may become models. Not fashion models, but faith models. Not modeling high street brands, but modeling what it means to be clothed with Christ. So now we move on to number 7. Turn. Turn. Our last 2 points relate to the readings that David and Sheena brought to us earlier. In verse 9, we read that the church in Thessalonica turned to God from idols and turned to the living and true God. And this is, of course, a key part of the gospel message. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 that David and Sheena read to us, Paul preached, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." If you think about Paul, whether in preaching or in writing, Paul taught the same message. We all need to repent, to turn to Jesus. So if you have never done this, then may I encourage you to do so. Please turn to God. Please turn away from idols. Start serving the living and true God. Repent and turn to him so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And finally, point number 8, wait. How many people like waiting? Just raise your hand if you love waiting. No hands up this morning. Paul encourages us to wait. David and Sheena read to us from Psalm 40, verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord, he turned to me and heard my cry." And this, of course, relates to Paul's final words in our chapter today, 1 Thessalonians verse 10, in which he reminds us to wait for Jesus, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. And this is, of course, a whisper of eternity. Jesus is coming again. We don't know when, but it could be soon. We are still in the midst of a global pandemic. There are fires raging around the world and floods right now in Europe. Let us wait for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let us wait for Jesus, but not like someone waiting at a bus stop, playing with their phone, whiling away the time. Let us wait for Jesus actively in prayer, reading his word and working for the gospel too, telling others about the love and grace of God. Amen.